This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Ryan is a hospital chaplain in Northern Ohio. I'm not even going to give you his last name, because he expresses some doubts in what he's doing. He's not sure he wants to be a hospital chaplain. He's not sure if that's what he's supposed to do, and he has some discomfort in what he does as a hospital chaplain. So just play it safe. I'm just going to identify him by his first name, Ryan. He says, "I believe in praying. My story begins with me as a hospital chaplain visiting a patient whose bold words would rock my world. Our visit, I thought, was going well, but I knew it wouldn't last because I would inevitably ask the question that a lot of people don't like me to ask, 'Can I pray for you?' And he said, you'd be surprised how many people are uncomfortable with anybody praying for them. I don't want a chaplain or anybody praying for them. There are people in our culture today that the last thing they want somebody to do is pray for them. And that's sad. It's a sad reality, but it's true. So he asked that question, can I offer a word of prayer? He said, to my surprise, the patient gladly accepted my proposal. However, she took it to the next level. She didn't want any liturgical spew, which was what the term he used, or whimsical verses. All she wanted me to pray for was this: I want you to pray that I get a cheeseburger, fries, and ketchup. That's all I want you to pray. She was serious. I want you to pray that I get a cheeseburger, fries, and ketchup. He said, I prayed. My seminary training didn't prepare me for a request like that. I should have taken the course entitled Spirituality and Fast Food. But he said, I found myself in the middle of a prayer that contained some form of the quote, God, would you give this woman a cheeseburger, fries, and ketchup? He said, the patient's unusual request caused me to examine my beliefs and ask critical questions concerning my God. Did I believe in a yes God whom I controlled under my thumb? If I could dictate God's will with a drop of a prayer, then I would be God, because I would be in control. However, I couldn't even deliver this woman a happy meal, let alone bring an end to the war in the Middle East, or to poverty, or to crime. Then it hit me like a quarter pounder with cheese. I realized that prayer gave voice to the desire and the love for life, even if the desire and love manifested itself in the form of a cheeseburger, fries, and ketchup. We're going to talk about boldness in prayer today. I want to define terms right away. Boldness is not arrogance. Boldness doesn't mean presumptuousness. It doesn't mean presuming anything. Boldness in the Greek, parisia, the word means this: freedom to speak your mind. And I want you to go home with this today. If nothing else, you don't remember anything else, I can be bold in my prayer life, meaning I have the freedom to speak openly and say, Lord, this is what our family needs. Lord, this is what our marriage needs. Lord, this is what my son, my daughter needs. And you can have a boldness that has nothing to do, get this, with self-confidence. It has everything to do with Christ confidence. It's not about your self-confidence that you pray boldly. It's about Christ confidence that you have in him. We're going to read the first half of the passage. It's in the book of Acts, the fourth chapter. It's a follow-up to an event where Peter and John heal a crippled man who was crippled for years, and he's identified. This is interesting. The Bible says he was over 40 years old. Why did they mention that? Because it was somebody who was known in the community as a cripple. Well, this week and next week, two standalone messages from the Word of God on Cross Hope. Remember, our website is crosshope.org. Look at visual stories, one of the most important new developments on our website. That's crosshope.org. When I was in India the time before last, I did something that really embarrassed me. I was walking down the street in the city we were at, and I didn't see the woman at first until I literally was standing right in front of her, a woman with the worst facial deformities I have ever seen in my life. To call her that she looked monstrous was putting it mild. And I was so stunned in seeing it, I literally gasped out loud right in front of her. I was so embarrassed. And she just had her hand down for money. I was glad to give her money, if nothing else, to atone for my embarrassment of what I did. And she, I found out from Raj and the man we work with there, that she's been there for years at the same corner begging with this huge, massive facial deformity that keeps her from doing anything but begging to survive. And that's perhaps the situation with this man they healed of being crippled. We pick it up, chapter 4, verse 5. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power and by what name did you do this? Little arrogance there, you sense it? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is, Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name. Would you memorize that? Maybe, perhaps this week, there is no other name under heaven. No other name. Under heaven, given to men, by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of the Jewish people, and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. We cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Announcement here, that day's coming here in the United States of America, I'm afraid. I don't know when, but I can foresee the time you will not teach in the name of Jesus. Forget about freedom of speech. You won't teach or preach in the name of Jesus. Just a personal thought. You can disagree with it, and it's fine with me. But Peter and John, verse 19, replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them for healing this crippled man. Isn't that unbelievable? Because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. What a story. Two men, Peter and John, who are about to be punished for doing a good thing. Have you ever had anybody resent you for doing a good thing? Don't raise your hand, you have.
Well, we'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope from the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, a standalone message on prayer. Crosshope.org. Crosshope.org.
What a story. Two men, Peter and John, who are about to be punished for doing a good thing. Have you ever had anybody resent you for doing a good thing? Don't raise your hand, you have. Sometimes people resent it when you do the right thing in a situation. People hate it when you do the right thing. And perhaps you've had people angry in your family because you did the right thing in a particular situation. Here, Peter and John are called into question because they heal a man who's been crippled for perhaps decades. Since birth, perhaps, and they heal him. He's walking around the community, and everybody knows him. It would be like the woman that I saw in India with the massive facial deformity changed and walking around, and everybody, isn't that the woman that used to beg on that particular corner? That's how dramatic it was, if not more so. And I want you to notice that they spoke with a boldness that wasn't generated by self, it came from the Lord. And any boldness that you have in praying, any boldness that you and I have in speaking about the Lord, especially in light of what happened in Oregon, stand up if you're a Christian. You know, I think there's going to be situations that happen morally and culturally. I'm not talking about somebody shooting you. I'm talking about people are going to be challenged. Do you really believe in Jesus? You really do? Are you one of those people that actually believes in the cross and you believe in the atonement and you believe in all this stuff connected and you believe in the resurrection? And you're one of those crazy people that believes the Bible is inspired by God? Yeah, I do. Those days are going to come more and more in our culture. And what my point is, you need to be prepared for it. You need to be prepared for it, and so do I. Let's talk about boldness in prayer by using a quote of Martin Lloyd-Jones. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a medical doctor who decided in England to go into the ministry. I don't know too many situations like that. Here he was educated as a doctor, had a practice, and said, I just feel the call of God on my life to go into the ministry, and he did. And he talks about boldness in prayer. He said, this holy boldness, this argumentation, this reasoning, the putting the case before God and pleading his own promises is the whole secret of prayer. When's the last time maybe you quoted scripture to God about anything I ask in your name, if it's your will, you'll hear me? Have you ever quoted God to God? Quoted his word? I have. I'll admit it. And you say, does that work? Well, let me ask you this. Those of you that are parents, did you ever have a son or daughter say, Dad, remember when you told me that if A happened, then B will happen? Well, sort of. Yeah, I guess I do. You ever have a daughter remind you of something you said? You said we would do this or go to this place if I did this. And we're convicted and we're moved by our children calling attention to things we have said. I think with God the Father, it has power when you and I quote scripture. Say, Lord, the word says, you're my shepherd. And the shepherd cared for his flock, and the shepherd made sure the sheep were fed. And Lord, I'm calling you my shepherd. I believe you're my shepherd. I believe that has power in prayer, just like Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said it did. Verse 30, and after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Twice the word boldly is used, parousia, to speak with freedom.
Well, this is a message about boldness in prayer from Acts, the fourth chapter. It continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Be sure and look at the feature known as visual stories on crosshope.org.
I want to talk about that verse where the place was shaken when the believers were praying together. I don't know if the walls shook. I don't know if there was a tremor, maybe just a minor tremor in the earth. It could have been. They could have felt something physical. But let me tell you something. When you pray for your family's going to be shaken up. You pray for a husband that you've never prayed for, things are going to start happening. Things are going to start shaking by the one who is the shaker with the capital S. You ever talk about being connected to the movers and the shakers at work? You need to know the mover with a capital M and the shaker with a capital S, and that's the Lord God Almighty. He's the one who can shake things up and make things happen in a family, in a marriage, in a workplace. And whenever you feel under the gun, so to speak, you call upon the Lord, and he does shake things up in response to people's prayer. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. Susan works for the Austin Police Department, Austin, Texas, in the homicide department. She's the administrative assistant in the homicide unit of Austin Police Department. She tells a powerful story that's kind of just a generic illustration. It's not particularly spiritual, but it is. And I want to talk about it just for a minute. I believe in the power of being believed. I didn't have the full concept of what it feels like until I went to work for the Austin Police Department Homicide Unit. She had been through a divorce, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, and she applied for the job as administrative assistant in the police department, and the sergeant who interviewed her said, you know, you're going to be exposed to a lot of stuff. Death. Violent death. Crime. Can you handle it? And she said, I can. She'd worked for the state in a boring job, she said, for 27 years, and she said, I was ready for a change. And here's what she said. A series of past events had placed me on the cusp of launching myself into a new circumstance when I applied for the job with Homicide. I had managed to get myself and my two daughters safely out of a long-term abusive marriage. I raised both daughters as a single parent with no child support. My youngest daughter had just begun college far from home. My mother was about to forget who I was due to dementia turning into Alzheimer's. My father died in the past 2 years, and I had abruptly retired from 27 boring years in the state government. My childhood had been spent in self-doubt and overshadowed by an older, more vocal sibling. My favorite childhood book was The Little Engine That Could. Anybody remember reading that? I just read it last night. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. The Little Engine That Could. It was the story of a little train engine that couldn't quite pull its own load, but it always told itself, I think I can. I think I can. She said this, belief creates boldness and power. Belief can turn a little engine into a steaming powerhouse. Belief is something we can all offer to each other. It costs nothing but a little bit of our time. The feeling of being believed is a precious gift that I treasure. I'm not talking to you today about believing that you can get a job in the homicide department of a police department. I'm talking to you about approaching the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords about your needs in your life. The one who created the universe and put the planets in gravitational order and just put everything together in this universe that one astronomer says is 60 million light years across. That's the God I pray to. And that's the one you pray to when you say, Lord, we've got a problem.
Well, this message on Cross Hope will conclude tomorrow. I hope that you know that our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org to listen to this message or any other, as well as looking at a new feature called Visual Stories on crosshope.org.
You know, so many times when people talk about problems, Jim Cimbala from New York City is so right. He said when people come to him, he just simply says this, pray about it. He doesn't say it glibly. But he said when somebody says, I got a problem in my marriage, he says, are you praying about it? Most people say, no, I'm not. Pray. Most people, he said, talk to him, got a problem with a teenage son or a teenage daughter. You praying about it? No. Pray. Pray. Pray boldly. Pray boldly with assurance that you have the freedom to say what you need to say, and you can have freedom to be answered by the God who has the power to do something. I had no idea that a person that I would be talking about in my sermon was going to be here today, but they're in this service right now, and I told him I'm going to be talking about you. Yesterday at men's prayer breakfast, Jeff Nicholas spoke to the men. Jeff is a former Black Hawk helicopter pilot in the Army, and told a powerful message about his life and how the Lord worked in his life. He was a part of the effort, I think it was 93, am I right, Jeff? With the Mogadishu thing, it was 1993. You may remember that 18 Marines were killed, and it was a tough situation that many were injured. And he was one of the pilots, the helicopter pilots that flew in the mission. A soldier fell out of his helicopter, and it's portrayed in the movie Black Hawk Down, that incident. And it's just a terrible time. I mean, nothing glorious about it. It was difficult. But the thing that touched me so much yesterday, and I told Jeff I was going to tell this story, was when his brother-in-law, Neil Sullivan, who a member here, introduced his brother-in-law, Jeff, and said, Jeff now is a pilot in Lexington, Kentucky with Care Flight. Just like we have Life Flight or whatever it is with Miami Valley Hospital, he does the flying of the helicopter, medical evac helicopter. And Neil said something that really struck my heart. He said, if you're ever injured in Lexington, Kentucky, you're ever in an emergency medical situation, you want this guy, Jeff Nicholas, picking you up. And you know where I thought he was going with it? I thought he was going to say, because he's such a good pilot, you know, in the military background, and you want somebody that's a handled helicopter. That's not what he said. You want this guy to pick you up because, you see, while you're in the back being worked on by the paramedics and the flight nurses, he's up in the pilot seat praying for you. And all the way to Lexington Hospital, he's praying for you. And for that patient, for that child, for that adult, for that senior citizen that's being medevaced out of a situation. And I thought, wow, what a powerful illustration. The pilot of the helicopter that's flying me to an emergency room is praying for me. Question, who knows you're praying for them? There's some men in this room that couldn't answer that question if they had to. And there are women in this room, you couldn't answer that question if you had to. Who's praying for you? Who's lifting you up boldly to the throne of grace? Who's approaching the Lord with freedom and saying, bless my husband, bless my wife, bless my children, bless my parents. Lord, work in their lives. That's what praying boldly means. It doesn't mean arrogance. Nobody comes to the Lord with arrogance or presumptuousness. We come humbly. And we say, Lord, I humbly come with boldness. Because I don't have self-confidence. I've got Christ confidence. I've got Christ confidence. What a difference. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.